many of you who know me well know that I've always enjoyed eating. Yes, it is one of my very favorite things to do. It always has been. If you ask my mother, she will tell you the same thing. It's something that I've enjoyed since I was a baby. In fact, they potty trained me, giving me green grapes and M&Ms. So now you know, fact, that I don't know, maybe my wife didn't even know that. So now you do. Eating is something that I can enjoy every single day. Multiple times a day, in fact. I've thoroughly enjoyed this throughout my life, and I continue to do so. I will always continue to do so. But I really began to appreciate eating even more when I had the opportunity to sit down with one of my friends for their family dinners. As I grew up, mealtime was more functional. In fact, my family did not get into a practice of eating together. We just did it because we needed to do it. We were hungry and needed to feed ourselves. It was very much pragmatic in that regard. While I enjoyed that well enough, my eyes were really opened when I had the chance to sit down with the family of a friend for dinner one night. And that particular moment was really striking to me. There was banter and laughing, and everyone had an opportunity to peer into the lives of everyone else. And the composition of the family at that point in time, I was in college, there was a sibling who was still in high school, there was another sibling who was out of the house and on her own. And then, of course, there was the mother and the father. And we had this great conversation with multiple people in different parts of their lives. I really enjoyed it. And I knew at that time that this was something that I wanted for myself as I would get older. And last week, I was having a moment. I was having breakfast with my own family, and it was great. As little as it was, as little and insignificant as it was, in the grand scheme of things, it really didn't stand out as being more special than any other breakfast time, but I took a moment to reflect about it. Everyone was there. My wife and I, and even our twins, were sitting in our laps. Our middle children were there too, and we were all talking about Popeye. Well, the cartoon has been in heavy rotation in our household lately. it's a little story that won't make much sense to you guys, but I don't know. We all thought it was pretty humorous when we observed that people don't really name their kids Popeye these days. That's just not a name that people use. So anyway, we thought it was hilarious, and you just had to be there, of course. It all made us laugh and carry on. We were all enjoying the time together, and it really was a pretty special moment. We all got to share a little moment about Popeye together. My point is that supper time is special. Eating a meal together with your family, with other people, is special. It offers a unique opportunity on a daily basis to build a relationship with the people that we come in contact with, especially our families. Everybody who's there, no matter what part or phase of life you're in, takes time out from their busy schedule to stop and eat and share experiences from the day. Sometimes they're big things, sometimes they're little things, sometimes there's nothing. Sometimes we have conversations that consist of pass the butter. But everyone at the table is engaged at some level in the same activity. Young or old, rich or poor, we're all doing the same thing. The event of eating a meal together has a way of inherently setting differences in our lives aside. It puts everyone on common ground, and it makes it easier to relate to one another because of that. We are all human in that regard. We all share common ground. We all share experiences that are meaningful to one another. We're all human. We all learn from one another. We all support one another. So seeing that eating a meal together provides such a unique opportunity, we should not be surprised that to learn that so many important events in the Bible involve eating a meal together. So let's start with one of the big ones. This one is the Passover meal. Let's go over to Luke 22 and read verses 14 through 17. Luke 22 and verse 14. When the hour had come, he sat down with the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, "With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And I'll stop there. Here we have a look into an event, a supper time event of Jesus Christ. This was one of the most important events of his whole time on earth. He looked forward to this event with fervent desire, it says. And what was it? It was a meal. It was a chance for Jesus Christ to sit down with the apostles whom he cared deeply about and share some experience with them, share this commemorative experience together. This was a moment in Jesus Christ's life where he would fulfill his purpose. It was likely his last opportunity to enjoy sharing some time together with the people that he loved, all in one place. And Jesus Christ, of course, looks forward to doing this again with us in the future. He talks about it here. There will be a meal together again in the future. And that, too, will be a very important one. Let's go over to Revelation 19, and we'll read verses 7 through 9. Revelation 19, verse 7. "Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, 'Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb.'" It's a meal. It is a time. It's more than just food, of course. It is a time when Jesus Christ will sit down with his people to commemorate this great event of becoming one with the church. That amazing event out in the future is commemorated with a meal. And that is when time would be spent together. It's a special time. Let's go back and look at a few other examples of a meal time together. This is one that I find pretty cool. It's in 2 Samuel chapter 9, and we'll read verses 3 through 7. This is about David, and he sought out to build a relationship with an individual, and he uses mealtime to do it. 2 Samuel 9, beginning in verse 3. "Then the king said, 'Is there not still someone at the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God?' And Ziba said to the king, 'There is still a son of Jonathan, who is lame in his feet.' So the king said to him, 'Where is he?' And Ziba said to the king, 'Indeed, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lo Debar.' Then King David sent and brought him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lo Debar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face and prostrated himself. Then David said, 'Mephibosheth?' And he said, 'Here's your servant.' So David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather. And you shall eat bread at my table continually." David wanted to reconcile, rebuild a relationship with Saul's family. And how did he do that? There's a few things that happen here. He's giving him land again, but giving somebody land isn't really a way to build a relationship with somebody. And that's what David wanted. The tool he used was mealtime. David invited Mephibosheth in David's capacity as a king to be part of his meals. He wanted Mephibosheth, who was not the king, to be there so that they could share their experiences and build a relationship with one another. That was the tool that they used to do that. Let's go back to the New Testament and look at Luke 15 and read verses 20 through 24. This is about the prodigal son. Luke 15 and verse 20. As the prodigal son returns, "And he arose and came to his father when he was still a great way off. His father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." The return of the prodigal son involved a great meal. What did the first thing that they did was they sat down and had food together. You can imagine what that meal was like. "How are you doing, Dad? You know, what were you doing, son? I'm glad you're back." They rebuilt a relationship, and mealtime was that tool. Turn over to Acts 2 for another great example of relationship building using meals to do so. Acts 2 and verse 42 through 47. This is about the early church. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, and all had things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and with simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." This is one of the greatest expressions of unity of the church ever. And it's described in various ways, but one is in multiple places. They talk about breaking bread together, about enjoying meals together, going house to house and sharing time with one another over a meal. This is unprecedented unity, and it serves as a great example for us. Finally, if you will, please turn to Ecclesiastes 3, and we'll read verse 12. Ecclesiastes 3, I'm almost there, and verse 12 states this: "I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of his labor. It is the gift of God." Solomon, in all his wisdom, proclaims that this is one of the great gifts that God has given us. It's the opportunity to take time out of our daily lives, out of our hectic schedules, and sit down and eat and enjoy the time that we might share with one another. Throughout the Bible, we can see many examples of people, brethren especially, eating together. Everyone needs to eat. A meal offers every single one of us a daily opportunity to build a relationship with our families, our friends, our brethren, when we have the opportunity to get together. Take advantage of it.